everyone. Put up your hand if you think that you're a good son or daughter. So you help your parents around the house, you always go to bed on time, you keep your room tidy. Oh, that's good to see. And I'm sure you'll be extra specially good today on Father's Day. Put up your hand if you think you're not a good son or daughter. Sometimes you disobey your parents or you argue with your brother or sister. Now, all children do things wrong from time to time. Actually, everybody, even grown-ups, do things wrong sometimes. The story we're looking at today is the story of the prodigal son. It's about a rebellious son who behaves spectacularly badly. And today's story, as it said, is not a true story. If it was, I have a feeling the father might not have behaved in quite the same way. It's a parable, which is a story that Jesus made up to teach us something. And this story of the prodigal son teaches us about God and about ourselves. Because in the story, the father is a bit like God and the son is a bit like us. Have you ever wanted to have something early or before it's the right time? Has anybody ever begged their parents to open the presents on Christmas Eve? Has anybody ever asked for their pocket money early? Just looking over there. Imagine what would happen if you asked for all of your pocket money early. Imagine if you went home today and you said to your parents, I'd like you to work out all the pocket money you're going to give to me from now till I'm 18 and give it to me now. What do you think they'd say? Yes, I don't think it would go so well. And that's a bit like what the son does in the story. But actually, what the son does is even worse, because he doesn't ask for pocket money, he asks for inheritance. An inheritance is a sum of money that parents give to their children and leave behind after they've died. So when the son was asking for his father's inheritance, that was a little bit like saying to his father, I wish you were dead already. So he wasn't just being greedy and impatient, he was being cruel. Now, the amazing thing is that the father in the story actually agrees. He gives his son the inheritance, and then when his son leaves with the money, he lets him go. What I think this bit of the story is trying to teach us is this. God is our father, and he loves us very much, but he will not force us to follow his rules or even be a part of his family. We don't want to. Being part of God's family isn't like a phone contract or gym membership with steep cancellation fees. We're free to leave any time we want. And maybe you feel like you have to come to church because your parents make you or because there's no one at home to look after you. But going to church is not the same as being part of God's family. No one can force you to join and no one will make you stay, not even God. So, the father gives his son the inheritance and he leaves home and he spends the money on whatever he feels like. The Bible says that he squandered the money in wild living. And I think that probably means that he spent it on things like food, clothes and partying with friends. And I think that can be a little bit like what happens if we turn away from God. Now, obviously, I don't mean that when we turn away from God, we start wasting money and partying. What I mean is this. God has blessed each one of us with special gifts, talents, and resources, which he wants us to use for good. Sometimes, when we rebel against God, we end up using our talents and resources in the wrong way or selfishly, and we waste them. When we do this, we are squandering our inheritance. We're wasting what we've been given. And I think that just like the father in the story, God grieves for us. So, the son squanders his inheritance on wild living until before long, it's all gone. And then that's when the famine hits. He's left with no money, no food,
no friends, and nowhere to turn. He's so poor that he has to get a job looking after pigs. Now think of the most disgusting, awful, terrible, worst job you could ever have to do. And in Jesus' time, that job would have been looking after pigs. Okay, because you have to feed them disgusting food and then clean out their disgusting muck in their disgusting pens and their disgusting, horrible animals. So at this, it is at this point in the story that the son starts to think about his home and his father. Not while he's rich and having parties with his friends, but when he's hungry and dirty and covered in pig poo. Now, at first glance, that might seem like kind of a little bit silly, because obviously he's going to turn back to the father now that he's used up every other option. And sometimes we might think that actually the story would be better if the son had realised the error of his ways before he used up all of his money. But I think that Jesus told the story like this for a reason. To teach us that it is never too late to turn back to God. Nothing we can do is too bad to be forgiven. It doesn't matter how long we've been gone, how far we've strayed, or how dirty we've got. It doesn't matter that we're only turning back because we're exhausted and empty-handed and we've used ourselves up. God wants us to know that it's never late. The son in the story thinks that it is too late. He thinks, maybe I could have come home if I still had some of the money left, if I still had some nice clothes to wear. But now I'm dirty and hungry and smelly and penniless. And that's when he decides to try and come back and make himself a servant. And he returns home and he says, Father, I'm no longer fit to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. But the father sees him at a distance and he runs to meet him. And the father tells him he doesn't want him as a servant. He wants him as a son. And he hugs him and he kisses him and he throws him a party. And he doesn't pay attention to why he's come back or how dirty he is. He's just glad to have him home. What a great picture that is of how God feels about each one of us. Now that should be the end of the story. But there is one person missing from the party, and that is the other son. And he is angry. He thinks that his brother should be punished and not rewarded. And he refuses to go in and join the celebration. And yet, just as the father ran out to meet the first son, he now comes out of the party to see his other son, and he pleads with him. Now, we never find out the end of the story. We don't know if the other son goes into the party or stubbornly stays outside alone. And maybe that is meant to be a warning to us. Because the other son is also rebelling. He may not be rebelling against the rules, but he is rebelling against God's generosity and God's forgiveness. To sum up, we can learn important lessons from all three of the characters in today's story. When we look at the father, we see that God is loving and generous and forgiving. He won't force us to remain with him against our will. But if we turn back to him, he will welcome us with open arms, no matter how dirty we are. Because God would rather welcome us into his family penniless and covered in filth, but there by choice, than have us clean and tidy against our will. So how do we avoid being like the prodigal rebellious son? I don't think we can. I think all of us, at some time or other, turn away from God and we spend our energy and our time and our resources in the wrong way. We just have to remember to swallow our pride and come home and know that it's never too late to turn back. How do we avoid being like the other son? Well, I think the problem with the other son is that he just didn't love his brother as much as the father did. So as we go out today, let's rejoice at the riches that we possess in our Father in heaven. And let's try to love all those around us as much as our Father does.